Good morning.
Good
Sunday morning. And Sunday, in many parts of the world, is Sabbath day. Among other people, Saturday is Sabbath day. The Bible has a great deal to say about Sabbath and its importance, the setting aside of a day to keep it holy, dedicated to God. In the light of spiritual revelation, Sabbath is not so much a specific time as a specific state of consciousness. Sunday can be Sabbath, Saturday can be Sabbath, Monday can be Sabbath. But this hour can be Sabbath, and tomorrow morning at 6 can be Sabbath. If we understand that Sabbath means a period of rest from our material labors or material resources or material faiths, more especially from material power, the mystical meaning of Sabbath is a resting from power. All through the year, all through the day, week, month, all through our lives, we are resorting to material forces and powers and mental forces and powers. And the only Sabbath there is a period in which you rest from material and mental forces, and thereby experience spiritual presence. The Master was evidently not content with Saturday as Sabbath, for he went away for weekends and for periods described as 40 days. Others before him knew the experience of 40 days, 40 nights, 40 years. All of these intervals are Sabbath periods. Periods of turning from our usual reliances, hopes, fears, doubts, and powers, to a retirement into an inner stillness in which there is no power, no power that we know, no power that we understand, no power that we can use. There is the true Sabbath. Arresting from any power which we know or can understand. And in that Sabbath, in that resting period, A something takes possession of us and renews us. It is not said that we shall not eat bread. It is merely said that we shall not live by bread alone. It is not said that we shall not think thoughts, only that we shall not take thought for what we shall eat or what we shall drink or wherewithal we shall be clothed. There is no indication anywhere that we must sacrifice our minds, our thinking capacities, our thoughts, or our actions. It is only indicated that there be a Sabbath period of renewal, of spiritual renewal. As a matter of fact, the most holy Sabbath periods are the holy days of fasting, fasting from the pleasures of the senses, even fasting from the necessities, such as eating. A fasting from those things upon which ordinarily we have reliance. To even to fast from food for a period makes of it a period of renewal. We have had in our experience many, many periods when it was impossible to eat meat, when meat just would not go down into the system. I have had periods like that of 3 days, 5 days, 8 days, and 3 weeks and 3 months, and once of 8 months. There was no virtue to it. There was no just denying oneself the pleasure of meat, or there just was a complete loss of desire for it. We had one such period on the last trip in England, when for about 3 weeks, neither one of us could touch a bite of meat of any kind, and didn't. We had another period when we returned home from that trip, and for 3 weeks ate no food except liquids. There was just no desire for anything at all except of a liquid nature. Those are fast periods. Those are Sabbath periods. And during those periods there is a spiritual renewal because of the denial of sense. Therefore, there is a spiritual renewal that takes place. Actually, because in the years of my healing practice, when I had no other work to do than healing work, I found it completely necessary to have these periods every hour. Every hour of the day in which I was seeing patients, I took 2 or 3 short periods for meditation. That meant relaxing and resting from talking, relaxing and resting from a human nature, physical or mental, and sitting with whoever was in the office at the time, in perfect stillness. We are assured in Scripture that in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. In quietness and in confidence, these are the sources of strength, because these are the periods of spiritual renewal. We do not deny the human body, but we bring to the human body spiritual refreshment Jesus did not deny meat. He said, I am the meat. He did not deny bread, water, or wine, but he said, I am the bread, the water, or wine. In other words, there is a food for the body which is not a material food. It is a spiritual food, and it produces spiritual energy, but the manner of attaining it is called Sabbath. It is a period of resting from the material food, material exercise, mental food even, mental exercise, and an inner resting during which period the transcendental presence, the Spirit of God, which is closer to us and renews us both mentally and physically, so that we then find ourselves with greater mental capacities and greater physical capacities than we have heretofore known. We do not wish to deny the power of the mind or of the body. We wish the mind and the body to be imbued with spirit. We wish the mind and the body to be fed, clothed, housed with spirit. We wish spirit to be the bread, wine, and water, and the resurrection of mind and of body. We wish the lost years of the locust to be restored to us. The years of our spiritual barrenness, the years in which we were only physical and mental beings, those were the years of the locust. We wish our ancient true selfhood to be restored. And this can only be done through the Spirit. And the Spirit can only be entertained through silence, through quietness, confidence, assurance, and a resting from the physical and the mental activities. I still find that I require some part of almost every hour of the day and night for brief periods of renewal. They may really last only 1 or 2 minutes, but I always take them. I always have them. And that means then that in that brief Sabbath period, in that brief period in which I have rested from my ordinary labors, that I have opened my consciousness to that which is ever present and ready to pick us up on no other basis could this work be continued or be prospered. Businessmen have found, there was an article last year in Reader's Digest of a businessman who found that his success could only come because of these periods in which he took from his labors in his office, closed the door, and meditated. What is meditation? Probably we do not know. Probably we do not know how to meditate. All we do know is that we can rest from whatever we are doing and expose ourselves to whatever it is that can meditate in us or can feed us, work in us, or through us. There are as many different ways of praying as there are people to pray. There are as many different ways of meditating as there are people who meditate. And no one of them is right. No one of them is wrong. There are those who have been taught to come to meditation first by disciplining their bodies. We have not found that necessary, except to the extent of finding a comfortable posture, one in which the chair does not dig into our body, in which the blood does not stop circulating. In other words, a comfortable physical position. And when we have attained that, we are able to be absent from the body. And there enjoy a brief Sabbath period, a brief resting from physical and mental labors. Even resting from our worries, from our fears. Rest is one of the secrets. Rest, quietness, stillness, peacefulness, assurance, confidence. These are the words that are essential to us to take into our Sabbath period. Rest. Not what shall I know or what shall I do. Rest from knowing. Rest from doing. Rest from thinking. Rest from taking thought. Quietness and in confidence shall be my strength. Thou in me, and I in thou. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. And that gives you the ability to rest. For it means that you do not have to play God. Your function is to be still. For I am God. Therefore, Joel can be still, can be quiet, can be at peace. Nothing is expected of him. He can rest from his material labors and his mental labors, can rest from his obligations, from his duties. For I, the Spirit of God in me, will perform that which is given me to do. So I really only need 57 minutes in an hour. If I have given the first 3 minutes to God. Once, early in my practice, when I didn't have an automobile, a man who had received some benefit from my work, knowing that I had to go out one day a week calling on patients who could not leave their homes, and that I was making these trips by streetcar and bus, was trying to figure out how he could express gratitude to me for the benefits he had received through the work. And while pondering that subject, it came to him that I was making these trips on Thursday by streetcar and bus. And so the thought came to him, why not offer me his car and drive me that day? And then the thought came to him, but if I take a day out of the week, how will I earn my living? And the thought came to him that if he was giving a day of his week to God, that perhaps God could earn for him in 5 days what he used to earn in six. And so he came to me and made that offer, and I accepted it. And for 9 months, until I had an automobile, he drove me every Thursday from 8 in the morning until 8 at night. Well, you can imagine how much more work I could do, how many more calls I could make, how much more of a blessing the work could be to many others. And of course, the wonderful thing that he discovered was that he earned his living in 5 days. And so it is. We will all learn that we can earn our living in 5 days or 4 days. We determine that. The nature of God is fulfillment, so we are going to be fulfilled, really, if we only work 1 day a week, if the other 6 days are given to the work of God. So it is that we don't need 60 minutes every hour. Whatever minutes we take out of an hour for quietness and confidence, for spiritual renewal, from resting from material and mental labors, you will find you can accomplish more work in the remaining 54, 5, 6, or 7 minutes than you ever did before in the full 60 minutes. And not only that, because it isn't only amount of work we're interested in, it's quality of work. Everyone who has ever led the spiritual life has discovered that the quality of their work is greater, better, after they have given themselves to God, after they have dedicated their work to God, after they have dedicated the labor of their hands to God. Of course, we're all familiar with the Bibles of the world, and how every religious character has at some time or other laid down his or her personal life and dedicated the rest of their lives to God. And they haven't gone hungry or homeless or friendless, but rather they have prospered. Now, Sabbath to the laborer in the field or the worker in the factory may be 1 day in the week which he can devote to this absence from labor and devotion to God. But eventually, even the laborer must learn stillness and quietness while about his labor, so that out of every single period of time, there will be 1, 2, or 3 minutes of inner devotion. Eating the spiritual bread, the spiritual meat. Labor not for the meat which perisheth is only another way of saying rest and relax from your labors for this brief moment. I think that that is the reason why, of all the advertising that I have witnessed in my lifetime, I've only found one ad that I really like and can fully agree with. The pause that refreshes. That to me is the height of perfect advertising. Because it's just that pause that does refresh. It is. It's been my experience. It is just that pause, regardless of what I have had to do. It is that pause for 1 minute, 2 minutes, that has refreshed me, that has given me the strength to go on for 14-hour days and 16-hour days and at one time 19-hour days of work. But those pauses in between made it possible. That is our lesson of Sabbath. Let us often meditate on that word Sabbath, so that each one of you receives an individual lesson on Sabbath from within yourself. Because Sabbath to you may come in a different way than it has to me. It may come with a different meaning. Always remember that there is no one interpretation of anything in the spiritual picture that can be said to be right. Nor can we say of the others that they are wrong. Now, there is a spiritual vision of Sabbath which I have seen, which is very right for me. And it is possible that Sabbath can disclose itself to you in some other way, some other form, some other meaning that will be equally right for you. The nature of God is infinity, and therefore it would be unnatural for every flower to be a rose. It would be unnatural for every fruit to be an orange. Infinity is the nature of God. There is no rightness and there is no wrongness. There is only individual interpretation, individual understanding of the nature of God and of God's function in our experience. Now, this lesson will make even clearer to you what we have had so far this trip. Because this is the beginning of our new work, in which you will learn that the nature of spiritual work is not really engaging in mental activities, but just as much resting from mental activities as from physical activities. In other words, spiritual power is not that which is generated by what you know. What you know leads up to the place where you are released from doing and from knowing into that moment of listening and then being filled from within. These reminders of truth are the stepping stones. They're needful for us as we go into meditation. Then after that minute, two or three, we rest, we relax from taking thought, from making statements, and come to the place of rest. And here we learn the miracle that is going to be the foundation of our work from now on. And that will be when we understand the meaning of not by might, nor by power. not by physical might, nor by mental power, but by my spirit. And you come to a place where you recognize that always you have used force or power of one sort or another. And now you're coming to the place of using no power. You are using no power. Always we have struggled with the enemy. We have battled with the enemy, whether our enemy were physical and external or mental and internal, we have struggled against it. But we haven't won any victories. Now we will see that when we come to the place of no power, and you will remember that lesson, you all have that tape here of one power and no power. There is only one power, the causative, creative, maintaining and sustaining principle of life. But it is not a power in the sense that it is a power over something or over somebody or a power that does something to error. It is not that kind of a power. Therefore, the real power is when we are using no power. When we are not fighting our opposition, but resting and learning that opposition destroys itself. The enemy, as we learned in Hebrew scripture, when the Hebrews rested in the word, the enemy fought among themselves and destroyed each other. So we learn in our healing work. We do not know how to cure headaches or corns or bunions or indigestion or cancers. We know nothing about that. Therefore, we do not know how to fight those things. We do not know how to destroy those things. But we do know how to be still. We are using no power in this stillness. We are being still. Be still. I am God. The battle is not yours. It is God's. Stand ye still. Still and see the salvation of the Lord. In our stillness, which is not only refraining from material powers and mental powers, but even refraining from spiritual powers. A complete relaxing, a complete stillness, and then the enemy destroys itself. I don't know the process, neither do you. I'm sure you never will. But you will witness the fruitage of stillness, quietness. My peace give I unto thee, not as the world giveth. The world has physical powers and mental powers. My peace is not a power. It is a stillness, a silence, a resting. And then some mystery takes place. A miracle takes place And the enemy destroys itself. It evaporates, it dissolves, it disappears out of our experience, whether it's a fever or whether it's a lump or whether it's a person. If they have no place in our lives, they will disappear, but we mustn't push them. We mustn't struggle with them. We mustn't fight them. We must be still, because we are learning of a power that is not a power. We are learning a victory without force. We do not even use a spiritual force. If anything, our stillness permits a spiritual force to use us. It has been thought in the religious world that when you give up using material powers and mental powers, that you now use a spiritual power. That would leave you where you were in the beginning with just another type of power. And that would be just as bad as going from bows and arrows to guns and from guns to atom bombs. Just different kinds of powers and different forces of powers. No, we come to the consciousness of no powers. We exercise, we use no powers. Ours is a refraining from power. A stillness. I am God. Therefore, you be still. Rest. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you unto the end of the world. Therefore, you rest. Relax. Be still. And then go out and do those things that you have to do to perform your function in your human life. But because you have rested, because you have become still, because you have permitted the spirit to permeate your mind and body, now you witness that something went before you and made the crooked places straight. Something went before you and prepared a place for you. And the enmity has been dissolved. The opposition has been dissolved. And you stand within yourself and say, a mighty work, and I don't know how it happened. And I don't. I only know that through these years of my own labors, I have learned that in a complete silence and with no attempt to use God or use truth or use a power over anybody or for anybody, that something has taken place that has dissolved the problems of life and made the way more harmonious. The world has reached the end. The limit of material power. It has powers now that a thimbleful of it can destroy the world. It just cannot go on looking for more and greater powers. It came very near to reaching the understanding of mental powers. It came very near in the year 1958. To knowing how to destroy the world mentally. They were just one tiny little inch removed from discovering the secret that would have destroyed this world mentally just as well as the scientists can destroy it physically. No one knows when they may pop up with that final little bit of knowledge that would enable someone to be as destructive mentally as they now can be physically. So the answer does not lie in learning about some greater physical power or some greater mental power. But the true answer is how to find something that destroys both physical and mental powers. And only one thing will do that. Silence. Stillness. Inner assurance that I am God. That I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That there is a something which created this universe and is responsible for maintaining it unto eternity. And the ability to relax and let it perform its functions. That's our Sabbath. Rest for 1 minute every hour, or 2 minutes every hour, from your physical labors and your mental labors, and attain a complete silence. And you'll find that it is literally true. In quietness and confidence, I find my strength. In quietness and confidence, I find my peace. In stillness, I find allness. And so it is. You have heard an impartation of absolute truth. This absolute truth will become demonstrable in your experience in proportion to your ability to demonstrate this truth. What truth are you to demonstrate? The truth of no power. In other words, you are now in meditation and you are consciously remembering what you have just heard. You are consciously remembering that not by might, not by physical might, nor by mental power will you achieve anything. But further than this, that you are not to use spiritual might. In other words, that you are to come to a place in your consciousness of such complete stillness when you do not even have, and where you do not even have the desire to use a spiritual power. Your desire is to rest and relax from all powers. I do not need any powers, for God is power. God is always being God, from everlasting to everlasting. God is being God. Before Abraham was, God is. Unto the end of the world, God is. You need not battle physically or mentally or spiritually. Relax. Rest. For I am about my Father's business. I have gone before you to prepare a way for you, to make the crooked places straight, to perform that which is given you to do. rest, relax, abstain from power. When he says, my peace give I unto you, do you not see how you must relax in order to receive that peace? The Master within you, divine consciousness, is assuring you that it will give you my peace, Christ's peace. That is an invitation to you to be still. And let my peace come upon you. Take no thought. Let my peace come upon you. The Master says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, and I am ordained to heal the sick. The Spirit of the Lord God will come upon you when you have no desire to use a power for any purpose, just stillness. Be still. My peace I will give you. Be still. The Spirit of the Lord God will be upon you. Be still enough to receive it. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. You be still and let my Spirit come upon you. No power. My Spirit. And it is in this manner that the grace of God operates in your consciousness. You make room for it to operate by being still. Then you can say, I live by grace. I take no thought for my life, what I shall eat, what I shall drink. The grace of God feeds me, clothes me, houses me. The grace of God gives me ideas. The grace of God provides me with everything necessary in my human experience. But that is because I have learned to give up the use of power. God's power is my sufficiency. I can rest from power. Then, as you meet with conflicts, enemies, enmities, problems, we call them, be sure that you do not reach out and try to remove them or destroy them, physically or mentally. But take this 1, 2, 3 minutes out of every hour, not by might, nor by power. The battle is not yours. But mine, saith the Lord. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You need not avenge. You need not fight. Stand ye still. And they rested in his word. They rested from all powers. And God worked the miracle. And so we have come to the end of another beautiful session on Maui, and another beautiful visit, again, to us and to the guests who have been with us. It's been a memorable visit, a memorable occasion. And again, the word will pass from Maui to the mainland and across to Europe, to Africa, to Australia, New Zealand, carrying this aloha spirit wherever these tapes reach. And our students who have traveled from far places to this direction or from this direction to others are learning the meaning of this meeting in the spirit, in the aloha spirit, the meaning of meeting in spiritual oneness, spiritual brotherhood. As you have shared so liberally with students, with us and with our students who have visited here, so have our students in other cities, on the mainland, in Europe, and all of these other places, shared with those who have come there. And a wonderful brotherhood has established itself in this message of the infinite way, wherever we meet. And this, of course, is our hope and our aim, because it is the ultimate relationship of all men everywhere, once they have learned to meet in the spirit. And this means without any desire for any power to do anything to anybody. Thank you again.